Now, joining me on the line is Paul Westacott from the Public Transport Users Association, which is a very interesting issue that I talked about at the start of the program to do with the public transport and Labor's plan to increase the frequency of off-peak travel between Geelong and Melbourne. Paul, good morning.
Morning, Mitch.
So what were your thoughts on this Labor plan? Before we talk about the buses, what were your thoughts on the actual increase of off-peak public transport?
Oh, it's something that's long overdue. It's been one of the most long-standing sort of requests of the Public Transport Users Association that I represent to increase off-peak services to Melbourne from their current hourly frequency to much more frequent, because at the moment, if someone, you know, can't make the train or maybe just misses it, then they're likely to get into a car and go to Melbourne, because they could probably do that before the next train arrives. Whereas with a 20-minute service, of course, if you do miss a train or you're running a bit late, then you don't have that long to wait for another. So it dramatically increases the appeal of public transport.
I was reading some of the feedback on this issue, and people seem to be saying that they were more concerned about peak services, in that they seem to be crowded or slow or whatever the case may be. I mean, what do you think in terms of what's more important, putting more services in peak if it can be done, or is off-peak just as important?
Oh, I think both are important. And the thing about the off-peak services is that they're relatively easy to increase. We know V-Line said 4 years ago that they could do it, and the previous Labor government then accepted that, and they were going to do it if they'd won the last election. Peak services certainly need to be improved, and we're hoping that with the regional rail link opening, or in fact we're assuming that with the regional rail link opening probably this time next year, that that will help that problem. But the off-peak services, you know, that could be done without the regional rail link opening, although obviously with the regional rail link it'll make that easier too.
So the regional rail link's opening next year, did you say?
Yes, it probably is. It was scheduled to open in 2016, but the Regional Rail Link Authority's done such a good job of building the infrastructure that it looks like it'll be open a year earlier than was originally planned, which is excellent, because not only does it bring the benefits of that, even though there are some problems like the bypass of North Melbourne Station,
yes,
and the bypass of Werribee Station, but it'll bring the sort of benefits, nevertheless, there are, much more quickly, and of course it saves money by finishing the job a year earlier. It saves a lot of money as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you're leaving Southern Cross Station on the train, it seems like you have to go slow for a very long period of time just to get through, I presume, those bottlenecks. I mean, how much time would that regional rail link save?
Well, unfortunately for Geelong passengers, it may not save much time at all.
Right.
This is what I was talking about, the flaws in the project, although it does have benefits. Geelong passengers will have to travel via Tarneit, the Tarneit diversion, as we call it, which is actually longer. It's about 15 kilometres longer than the present trip. So that even though the track may be of a better standard and you may not get mixed up with metropolitan trains because you're running on your own dedicated track, you're going much further. So probably time savings, in fact almost certainly time savings, won't be real. There won't be any of those, but there should at least be better reliability. And as you say, the crawl out of Melbourne should at least be eliminated.
Is this off-peak proposal increasing the frequency in the government sites as well, or is it only a Labor policy?
Well, the government tells us that it's in its sites. So that's good. When Labor announced the policy last week, the government said, well, it was their policy too. So that's good. It's good if both sides agree, because it would appear that therefore it's almost inevitable it will happen. So you know, when you have a bipartisan policy of this sort, you know, it's good. It's good if both parties are actually bidding for votes on the basis of public transport improvements too.
Yeah, that's a big win. I mean, I find the train service to Melbourne quite frustrating, obviously, so anything to improve frequency, and the regional rail link also sounds like a positive, even if it doesn't save that much time. So essentially what this change means is that trains will be every 20 minutes from about 5 in the morning or 6 a.m. through till midnight. Is that right?
That's right, and in peak times they'll be more frequent than that. I mean, at the moment at peak times trains run about every 15 minutes. So, and that should continue and improve, and hopefully with that you will get some easing of peak hour congestion as well. So, as I say, the problem with the regional rail link, unfortunately, were there from the start. It was a flawed project in that there were no platforms provided at North Melbourne, and there'll be a bypass of Werribee, which is a very popular destination and origin point for rail travellers at the moment. But nevertheless, there are some benefits for those who travel at least end to end. Those people who travel Geelong to Melbourne and don't particularly want to go to intermediate stations, but it will be a longer journey in distance, and therefore there won't be any time savings as far as we can see.
Yes. Now, I think, are you still with us? Because the line's the line's just cutting
it
out.
But it is.
The main reason why you came on the program today was to talk about bus services, because they've always been the weak link in Geelong's public transport network, haven't they?
They have. And, of course, this new policy, ironically, will just show that up even more, because with trains running to Melbourne every 20 minutes or better, most bus services in Geelong run... there's only two bus services in Geelong, in fact, that run at 20-minute intervals. Most other bus services run half-hourly, hourly, or even worse. And so the irony is that you'll have a better frequency of train services to Melbourne than you have bus services in Geelong, and that's just crazy. And in order to make full use of the increased rail service frequency, there'll have to be an increase in bus frequency, because otherwise it'll be very difficult for people to get access to these new services. After all, peak hour travellers already are taking up virtually all of the car parking space in stations. If you're going to try and attract more people in off-peak times, it's going to be difficult if you're relying on cars only to get them to and from stations. So this is where bus services desperately need to be improved. They need to be improved anyway, but certainly the move to 20-minute off-peak services only shows up how poor the services are that we have within Geelong. And if you're going to make use of these extra services on the rail, then it's important to be able to get people to and from stations without putting further pressure on pretty scarce car parking.
Is the main issue frequency of buses, or is routes also a concern, where the buses just seem to weave through the back streets of suburbs and you just can't get to where you're going?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, if you straighten out the routes within reason, you, in fact, can increase the frequency of services without having to have more buses and more drivers, because the buses are getting from A to B quicker, because they're not going via the sort of magical mystery tours that some of them perform at the moment. So if you can straighten out the routes and make them more direct, then you can also run more frequent services even without increasing the number of buses and drivers. But obviously increasing the number of buses and drivers as well will help to boost frequency. But yes, the routes at the moment tend to emphasise coverage. That is, they try to make sure that there's a bus running somewhere near you. But the trouble with that is it's all very well having a bus running somewhere near where you live, but if it only runs once an hour and runs in a circle, it's really not much use to most people. And that's why we have the problems with car parking and car congestion and railway station car parks being full by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, now you've said here in this media release that each car park costs $16,000. I mean, that's just a one-off fee to build it, or is it an ongoing maintenance issue?
No, that's what it costs to put a curb channeled, a sealed, curbed and channeled car parking space. That's one.
Yeah.
That is the construction cost. But, of course, the cost to people of that is that if you drive to the station in your car, that car is just sitting at the station for the whole day. Now, if there's someone else in the family who might need to use a car, it means that then you've got to get another car. So while the $16,000 cost is a one-off cost, and it's still extremely high to get one person on a train 5 days a week, because let's face it, that's mostly what it is. It's 9 to 5 commuters who take up most of the space. But so that's a very high cost. But the hidden cost is the cost of the need to have more than one car in the family in order to replace the car that's just sitting in the station car park for most of the day.
Yep, that's a lot of common sense there, and you're absolutely right. So hopefully we see some announcement about buses. I mean, is it likely?
Well, the G21 public transport strategy, which was last year, there was a public consultation sessions around the Geelong region to get people's ideas about what was needed in local public transport. And needless to say, those sessions basically, you know, realised the common sense point and made the common sense point that more frequency and more directness are what's needed. So that strategy apparently is about to be launched and then presented to the state government in order to try to achieve those sorts of aims. So there is some hope on the horizon. What's important, I think, is that if there is a big change in public transport in bus routes and timetables, that the public are brought on board before the changes are actually made, because obviously when you make big changes to timetables and routes, some people are adversely affected. That's almost inevitable. Not everyone's going to be happy with every change that's made. So what we'd like to see is if and when, and hopefully when, these changes and improvements to bus routes and timetables are made, that there's a consultation period before they're brought in. They're not just presented as a fait accompli, but that the public are given a chance to have a look at what's proposed and to comment on them.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of very important issues there, so I appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure.